Chapter 5. God answers our prayers. God loves you and me too, and he answers our prayers. God may not answer our prayers how we expect him to, but he does answer. God may not answer our prayers when we expect him to, but he answers them. By doing so, he is glorified. So we must be sure to always give God the glory and not allow ourselves or others to take the credit, even though God answers whose prayers he wants to, when he wants to, and how he wants to. There are still requirements that we should consider when going to him in prayer. In this chapter, I intend to share with you these requirements, to briefly explain each requirement, and to give a few examples of times in which he answered my prayers faithfully. Unselfishness. First of all, I ask you to pray for everyone. Ask God to help and bless them all. This kind of prayer is good, and it pleases God our Savior. 1 Timothy 2:1, 3 CEV. These are the words of Paul to Timothy and his instructions on how to pray. These are also instructions to us about how to pray. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we should be mindful of others who are in need. Out of all the needy people in the world, the ones who do not know Christ are the neediest. We should pray that everyone hears the word of God, the gospel of Christ, and be saved. We should want this for everyone, our families, friends, loved ones, strangers, and even our enemies, because if our enemies are truly saved and truly belong to Christ, they are no longer our enemies, but they are our brothers. The same goes for strangers. We should pray for the poor, homeless, and impoverished, that God may provide for them in their time of need. We should pray for the healing, recovery, and good health of those who are sick with illness, disease, or cancer, and for those in pain. We should pray for peace in war-torn countries and for people all over the world. We should pray that those in jail and prison come to realize that apart from God, they can do nothing. We should pray for everyone to receive and be led by the Holy Spirit. The list goes on and on. Prayer is powerful, and if we are all praying for one another, we are agreeing in prayer. Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 19, that if two of us on earth agree in prayer on something, our Father will do what we ask. So we must pray for ourselves and others. Another key point about praying for others is this. We reap what we sow. If we pray for the comfort of others in their sorrow, we will be comforted in our time of sorrow, because someone somewhere will be praying for us. If we pray for financial blessings for someone who is struggling and having a hard time financially, we can expect someone to treat us the same way and pray for us. More importantly, we can expect God to step in. I dare you to go to God in prayer and pray for everyone except yourself. I dare you, after reading this chapter, to pray from beginning to end without mentioning any of your own wants and needs, but only the wants and needs of others. Try it. See how it makes you feel. See if it makes you want to pray this way more often. See if it improves your relationship with God, forgiving and forgiving. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Mark 11:25 NKJV. If we want our prayers to be answered, I think that before we go to the Lord in prayer, we should be free of wrath. As Paul mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, we should not be angry with someone as we take our requests to God, because we need to keep the connection between us and God clear. If someone has wronged us, we should forgive them so that God can forgive us. Only after we are forgiven of our sins does God listen to and answer our prayers, and only after we forgive does God forgive. Sometimes I would have a hard time letting go of an argument even after the argument was over. It would still hang around in my mind, causing me to be distracted in prayer. This was not good at all, because I would find myself reliving the argument in my mind and trying to say better words to win it in the midst of my praying. Talk about mind being gone. That is the true definition of the phrase. Eventually, after getting upset, the feelings would go away. So to stay focused during prayer, I would avoid confrontational conversations and disagreeable subjects before prayer. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, that if we take a gift to the altar, and before offering it, we remember that a person has a grievance with us, we should go and be reconciled with that person before offering our gift. I think that it works the same way with prayer. If we have wronged someone, we should ask forgiveness from them and God first before we ask God for anything else. By making peace, we open up the channel between us and God. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Before you let your request be made known to God, Philippians 4:6, I encourage you first to be forgiving to others and forgiven by God, because this pleases God. Be careful what you pray for. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it will be opened for you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Luke 11:9-10 KJV. I would like to share with you a testimony of mine in which God answered my prayer, but not in a way that I expected or wanted him to do. It was during my residency in the state of Kansas. I was living with my girlfriend of 4 months when I prayed this certain prayer a couple of times, and this chain of events took place. However, let me take you back 1 year before it happened. After my wife was murdered, I was living in Manhattan, Kansas at my aunt's house. I was working as a maintenance technician in a local plant around lots of people. So when I was not at home drinking and getting high, I was preoccupied with work and the people that I had met there in Kansas. All of this kept my mind off of the horror that had befallen me and people back in my hometown of Greenwood, Mississippi. While living at my aunt's house in Manhattan, my cousin slept in the bedroom next to mine. He was always watching YouTube videos and listening to music pertaining to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. He would be drinking his beer and smoking his weed as he talked about the Word of God. I recall telling him at least once that God is not here with us. I would say that God is nowhere near this place because everyone is so evil. I really felt that way, even though I prayed the Lord's Prayer most nights and thanked God for my food at meal times. This type of praying went on for a few more months until around Christmas time 2015, when I felt very low. I had lost my job in the last week of October, but I was still managing the little money that was in my checking account, hoping that I would be able to receive unemployment compensation benefits. If so, I could continue to drink and get high every day without working for another 4 or 5 months. I started to feel no sense of purpose. All I did was smoke weed, drink vodka and beer, watch TV, play video games, and spend time on social media every single day, all day and night. My girlfriend, whom I was living with, worked long hours each day, cleaned, cooked, and took care of my personal desires without ever complaining, even though I still found some reason 70. Sometimes to pick an argument with her. I saw myself living the same lifestyle that I had been living all of my adult life, and I was tired of it. A day or so after Christmas 2015, instead of just praying the Lord's Prayer as I normally did, I changed it up a bit. After the Lord's Prayer, I would ask God to change my life. I told him that I did not want to go on living the way that I was living. I was not feeling suicidal or anything like that. I was just fed up with the things that I was going through. I asked him for direction and guidance to something new. I demanded to know if my current life was all that my life would ever amount to. People back in Mississippi wanted me dead. Some wanted me in jail. Others wanted me dead and in jail. Everyone was saying that I killed my wife. And the ones who were not saying that, they were saying that it was all my fault. I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. So I sought God in prayer. But that's it. I never read my Holy Bible, nor did I go to church one single time in those 15 months that I lived in Kansas. Little did I know, God had a plan for me, and he was just waiting on me to tell him that I was ready for it. Approximately 1 or 1.5 weeks after I began asking God for a changed, better way of living, I received indictment papers for first-degree murder and the death of my wife. Initially, I thought that God was just allowing me to go to jail and stand trial so that I would have my name cleared, but his plan is much bigger than that. Now that I look back at all of the situations in my life, the so-called coincidental, relationships, the skills and talents that I possess, and my past behavior, I see that God had this huge plan brewing from the beginning. In jail awaiting trial, I have established an intimate relationship with God and my Lord Jesus Christ, which is so personal that I repent of even the smallest thoughts that are not Christ-like. I am ministering the Word of God, something I never thought I would do and never wanted to do. I am singing gospel music, and all of this is preparing me for the great work that God has in store for me to do. I have always done rap music, so I still intend to rap after my release, if it is the will of God, and I think that it is. My ministry and music in jail have eliminated the stage fright with the help of the Holy Spirit. I see now that the reason I have always excelled in English at school is so that I can reach others with my words by writing songs and books. Sure enough, God has answered my prayer for a change, and I am so grateful. God loves me and God loves you too. He is willing to answer your prayers, but do not be surprised when God gives you exactly what you ask for. God's will, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 2 KJV. God's will is going to be done, so we might as well roll with the program or get rolled over. When we pray, we should line up our prayers with the will of God to make them more effective. One might ask, if I pray for something to happen that is already going to happen, isn't my prayer in vain? Is my prayer unnecessary? How does that work? The answer to those questions, no, and I will try to explain. If I leave Mississippi Valley State University driving to Kansas, there is more than one way that I can get there. Nevertheless, my ultimate goal is to get to Kansas, and I know that I have to travel north for most of my journey. I can go about 8 or 10 miles east until I reach the highway that leads north, and then travel north-northwest for several hours until I reach Missouri, then westward to Kansas. I could leave MVSU and travel 15 miles west until I reach a road that leads to the same highway if I had traveled east. I could also drive west for 7 hours until I reach Texas, and then go straight to Kansas without going through Missouri, which is the preferred route when the weather conditions are snowy and the roads are hazardous. I'm sure that there are other routes and shortcuts that I don't know about, especially if you miss a turn or have to take a detour. It is the same way with God's will. We can pray for and do certain things that cause different circumstances, but God's will is at the end of the journey. Say, for instance, that it is part of the Lord's divine will that I minister unto a young man who lives in New York, and that the young man is to be so encouraged that he goes out ministering the word of God, and 1 year later, starts an outreach homeless shelter in a separate soup kitchen. Let's say that I'm scheduled to catch a plane with a couple of my colleagues, and we are going to be in New York 1 week from now, doing the Lord's work and talking to this group of young guys. Now let's say, for instance, there's a blizzard coming and no flights to New York will be available for 2 weeks. We pray to succeed in ministering to the young men and decide to drive. Now let's say that I catch a cold and can barely talk, so one of my CO ministers takes my place and delivers my message to the group. Now, let's say that we never left on the trip to New York at all. God may allow another person or group of people to encourage the young man and contribute to God's will for his life. Or God may have the young guys take a trip to our town, and I end up ministering the word to him that causes him to start the soup kitchen and the homeless shelter. Yet and still in the midst of all this, let's say that the guy gets into trouble with the FDA and is discouraged from having any distribution of food to the public. God may allow someone else to be in charge of the soup kitchen instead. At the end of the day, God is still in charge, and his will is going to be done. So when we pray, we should keep that in mind. We should also keep in mind that our thoughts and ways are not the same as God's. So we need to line up our prayers with his word, which consists of his thoughts and ways. By doing this, we form a better relationship with God, because we are thankful when he answers our prayers, which was part of his will before we even asked. God wants to answer our prayers, so why not pray for what he wants to give us? Do not let the words in this section discourage you from asking God for what you want in prayer. Besides, you don't know his plans for you, and you cannot predict the future. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in prayer. He knows the thoughts of our Heavenly Father. He will not allow you to pray for anything that goes against God's will. In the Old Testament of the Holy Bible, in the book of Numbers, chapters 22 through 24 tell about Balak, the king of Moab, and Balaam, a man of God. King Balak asked Balaam to come and curse the Israelites because the king had heard that whomever Balaam curses is cursed and whomever Balaam blesses is blessed. King Balak was afraid of the Israelites because they were too powerful for him and they had camped next to him after destroying the Amorites. King Balak sent messengers to Balaam, but God would not allow Balaam to go with him. Finally, after more messengers were sent by the king, Balaam was told by God to go with him, but only to speak as God commanded. On Balaam's journey to the king, the Lord's angel decided 3 times to kill Balaam before he made it to the king. But Balaam's donkey saved him from death all 3 times, and afterwards, the donkey spoke to Balaam. So after speaking with King Balak, Balaam informed the king that he could only speak about the Israelites as God commanded him. On 3 separate occasions, from 3 different places, Balaam blessed the people of Israel, instead of cursing them as Balak had asked and hired him to do. God would not allow Balaam to curse and pray against his people, and God's Holy Spirit will not allow us to pray against God's will if we let him lead us in prayer. Have faith. In all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Matthew 21:22 KJV. These are the words spoken by Jesus Christ to his disciples. You are one of Jesus' disciples if you have surrendered to him as your Lord and Savior. So these words are for you. These words are for me. These words are for all of us. So we should take heed to all of the word of God. A wise man once said that all things that happen have already happened before. Jesus spoke these words about prayer to his disciples then, and he is speaking them to his disciples now. Whatever we ask for in prayer, we should have faith that it is going to happen. We should live our lives as if we are 100% sure that God will answer our prayers. This is the real meaning of faith, believing that God can do anything and preparing for him to do it. If you applied for and have been praying for a management job that requires you to be at work earlier than usual, start researching management skills and going to bed a little earlier in faith that God will answer your prayer. If you have been praying for a car because you don't have one, look into buying car insurance, grab and hang on to a few business cards instead of saying, "No thanks. I don't have a car," when insurance agents offer them to you. Also make sure that you have a valid driver's license so that when God answers your prayer, you will be prepared to receive what you have been praying for. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2:26 NKJV. Regardless of what I am incarcerated for, I have written over 40 songs, all in faith of my release soon. I have created, in faith, a list of goals and objectives to achieve after my release to increase my intimacy with God and better my relationships with people. God has already begun answering my prayers, and I am sure he will answer all of them if I continue to have faith and pray according to his will. You ought to have faith that God will answer your prayer too. Besides, he loves you. Be specific. I made a decision 2 days ago on Sunday that I regretted shortly after I made it. A guy sitting in the day room yelled to me that he felt lucky and wanted to bet against me in the Pittsburgh versus Cleveland football game. I asked him if the star quarterback Big Ben was playing for my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. He told me yes, so we wagered $3. Note, $3 is 6 packs of ramen noodles and can feed a person 6 times. After getting the noodles and chips and putting them up front by the television, I came back into my cell and waited about an hour to go and check the score. My team, Pittsburgh, was losing 14-0 with a couple of minutes left to play in the second quarter of the game. They were not watching that particular game, but the score alert kept coming across the bottom of the TV screen. It was so funny to him because he had lied to me about Big Ben Roethlisberger being in the game, and he told me that I could not call off the bet. I went back to my cell and started to regret making the wager, even though I had much more commissary food in my locker box. I closed myself in and started thinking and meditating about the Word of God. Then I thought about the story of Gideon in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, chapter 6. Gideon asked God to prove to him that God chose him to save Israel. Gideon placed a fleece on the ground and asked God to let the fleece be full of dew in the morning, but let the ground surrounding the fleece be dry. God did it for him, just the way he asked of God. Then Gideon requested one more sign from God. Gideon wanted only the fleece to be dry in the morning and the ground be wet with dew. God did. So Gideon was convinced. I got down on my knees and began repenting and talking to God about the whole gambling thing, especially since it was the Lord's day. I asked God to let me know if I was pleasing in his sight. I requested that God help the Pittsburgh Steelers win without their star quarterback if he was pleased with me, and to cause them to lose if he was not pleased with me. I assured God that the noodles did not matter to me and that I just wanted to be on the right track with him. I checked the score a few times, and Pittsburgh was still losing. In fact, they never had the lead during the entire game until they threw a touchdown pass in overtime to win the game. I collected the commissary from the table as I thought to myself, God is pleased with me. It wasn't until later when I realized that I had not asked God if he was pleased with my decision to gamble on the Lord's Day, or even to gamble at all. Yes, God knows everything, our thoughts and intents and all, but I was not specific in my prayer to him concerning the matter, so I was left guessing. Do not be left guessing when you pray, like I was. Be specific in what you ask for, like Gideon did. Give thanks in prayer. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6 KJV. Another great piece of advice to heed during prayer is to be thankful. God has already given you the gift of life when he created you. So that's one thing to be grateful for. He sent his only begotten son to die for your sins, so you should thank him for the gift of salvation. In addition to all of the wonderful things you have been blessed with, that you may or may not acknowledge, Salvation is the best. God loves you and me too, and we should thank Him for showing us this undeserved love every single time that we go to Him in prayer. It's good at times to go to God in prayer and only give thanks without asking for anything. This is part of what we refer to as seeking God's face and not His hand. A good time to practice this type of prayer is at mealtime and before you eat. Consider this example by Jesus Christ. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up to the sky and thanked God for the food. Then He broke the bread into pieces, which He gave to His followers to distribute to the people. Then He divided the 2 fish among everyone there. Matthew 6:41. After being delivered from evil or a dangerous situation is a great time to practice going to the Lord in prayer only to thank Him. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivereth me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord. Psalm 18:48-49 KJV. Another time that you should go to God in prayer of thanksgiving is once you have received a blessing or once anything positive has happened in your life or the life of others around you. Because as we know, God is the creator of all things, both in heaven and on earth. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. In fact, it's good practice to go to God in prayer, thanking Him on a routine basis, even when there is no significant event taking place and nothing has happened for which you feel you should stop what you are doing and give thanks. Take Daniel, for example. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Daniel 6:10 KJV. No matter what is going on in your life, remember to thank God as you pray. Even in the midst of the storm, you can still thank God for all that He has done for you and given you. When you go to God for help or strength or comfort or guidance or whatever your heart desires, thanking Him for everything else helps to build your relationship with Him. I know that it may be difficult to thank God at times when it feels like all hope is lost. So you really just want to tell Him what you want or need. Go for it. Do it. Just keep in mind after you have told Him that God will be there for you now, and He has always been there for you. I advise you to sit down and make a list of things that you are grateful for which God has done or given you, small and large. Try to incorporate them into your prayers on a daily basis. And don't forget, everything that is not evil is from God. So thank Him for it. Praise God. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Psalm 101:2-4 NKJV. God is wonderful. God is powerful. God is awesome. God knows this because He knows everything. He is omniscient, knowing all. Believe it or not, God wants us to acknowledge these facts not only in public but in private also. When we pray to God, we should tell Him all about His greatness and His mighty works that we know of. We should acknowledge all that He is to us and all that He has done for us and verbalize it during prayer. After all, He is the creator of the ends of the earth. See Psalm 40:28. Music has always been a significant part of me. I have always had a tune or song in my heart or stuck in my head, even at times when it was unnecessary. Since I have turned my life over to Jesus, the majority of the songs that I write are spiritual, with the exception of the ones dedicated to my deceased wife. Quite often, I find myself being distracted with my music while I commence to pray. So initially I would plead with God to forgive me for not giving Him my full attention during prayer. It was not until after I read Psalm 100 and spoke with the jail Bible study instructor that the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to the truth. God wants us to sing praises to Him, even during prayer. Now when I go to my Heavenly Father to communicate with Him in private, I sometimes sing words to His spiritual song to stir up the spirit after getting down on my knees. Sometimes I sing a few words once my mind starts to drift, so that the Spirit will get me back on the right track. For we do not know what to pray for, but it is the Spirit who does know and does make intercession for us during prayer. See Romans 8:26. So I suggest that you try it. Try praising God in private. We glorify the Lord by praising Him in public, but praising Him when we are alone contributes to that intimate personal relationship that God so desires us to have with Him. This is especially effective if you learn scriptures of praise and quote them to God in prayer. So don't be afraid to memorize scriptures just for this purpose. I'm quite sure that God will not mind you sometimes reading His word only so that you can recite it back to Him in prayer. I think that if we acknowledge God in all of our ways, He will direct our paths. So if you feel led by the Spirit, do it. Praise God, our Father in heaven. Would any of you give your hungry child a stone if the child asked for some bread? Would you give your child a snake if the child asked for a fish? As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to people who ask. Matthew 7:9-11. See Eve. God is our Father. We are His children. God loves you and me too, and He wants to answer the prayers of all of us. But we must go to God as His children. We must go to God in prayer with the confidence and assurance that He will take care of us because we are His children. We must have faith that all of our needs will be provided. We must have hope that He will do good things for us, even when we do not ask. We must believe that whatever decisions God makes concerning us, those decisions are for our own good. We must also realize that whatever God does not give us or do for us, we do not need at the time, or maybe we do not need at all. Nonetheless, we must go to our Heavenly Father firmly in prayer. Know that He can do all things. If you want a brand new car straight from the dealership, ask God for it. As children, our earthly parents may have bought or given us things that we asked of them. If these things were delicate, we had to be responsible and take care of them. And sometimes we had to show responsibility before receiving them. Show some responsibility with the car that you have. And most definitely, thank God for it, in hopes that He will give you the brand new car that you have been praying for. Keep telling God your Father what you want in prayer and be patient until He gives it to you. As our Father who loves us, sometimes God may not give us what we pray for, no matter how badly we want it or how much we think we need it. The reason for that is this. What we are praying for may cause us more harm than good. If you do not have a car at all, and you have been praying to your Father in heaven for that new 2017 Chevy Camaro, He may not provide it or allow you to have it. In fact, God may not allow you to have any vehicle at all. You might say, "Why not? I need a way to and from work because my sewer worker is getting tired of hauling me around." Maybe it's because you have a heavy foot. Perhaps you like to have a couple of drinks after work before driving home in your car. Or maybe there is a reason that God has you spending time with your sewer worker every day. Talk to your Father in heaven. Communicate with your Father in heaven. Another reason that God may not answer our prayers is if in doing so, it does not glorify Him. If I continually pray in faith that I win the multi-million-dollar lottery until God makes it happen, there are some things that could happen which may not necessarily cause any physical harm, but may not be good overall. Say, for instance, I strike it rich and start communicating with God less and less until I don't have a close relationship with Him. That does not necessarily mean that I'm going to hell, since Jesus Christ is and always will be my Master and Savior, but it does cause a break in the intimacy between me and God, intimacy which God desires. Now let's say that I strike it rich through answered prayers, and I become too financially stable. I may start to depend on my money instead of God. Instead of having testimony about how God is providing for me on a daily basis, I may get caught up giving glory to my checking account. I may not give as generously as I should, or I might even get so entangled in what to give and what not to give that it drives me crazy. We all say that we would know what to do if God blessed us to be financially rich, but the truth is, we would not. God our Father in heaven knows. He knows everything. So keep going to Him in prayer, children of the Most High God, and do not be discouraged as He answers prayers as He sees fit. Sincere and sacrificial. When Ahab heard what Elijah said, he tore his clothes to show how sad he was. Then he put on sackcloth and refused to eat. He even slept in these clothes. He was very sad and upset. The Lord said to the prophet Elijah from Tishbe, "Look, Ahab has humbled himself before me, so I will not make that disaster happen during his lifetime. I will wait until his son is king. Then I will destroy his family." 1 Kings 21:27-29. So we fasted and prayed to our God about our trip. He answered our prayers. Ezra 8:23. God answers our prayers. But sometimes it takes more than us reciting a few words on a consistent basis. Sometimes we have to prove that we need Him. There are times when we have to change something that we are doing in order to get God's attention and let Him see how much we desire that He answers our prayers. Fasting is going without eating food for a period of time. I think that when we ask God in prayer for something, then commence to fast, God recognizes the sincerity of our prayer. After all, we have to ingest some form of food to survive. We can go for days and days, living on water alone, but we will eventually need some form of nutrients. Some people can go for longer than others without food, and again others fast all day and eat once per night for several days or weeks. Whatever the case may be for you, I suggest trying it. Fast from food as you pray daily for whatever it is that you desire of God. While you do so, be sure to study the Word of God, because we do not survive on food alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, see Matthew 4:4, Deuteronomy 8:3. We can also abstain from other things that we feel as though we must have in our lives, when in actuality, we don't. Coffee is one example. If you love drinking coffee every morning, or whenever, try abstaining from it as you offer your special or urgent prayers to God. Some people smoke. Abstain from smoking when in need of favor from God. While doing so, ask God to give you strength to go as long as possible without smoking. This is also the key to quit smoking. If you desire routinely watching a lot of television, playing video games, surfing the web, or texting, talking on your phone, abstain from your greatest desire to show God how sincere you are in your desire for Him. My ministry and music. The Lord is near to everyone who sincerely calls to Him for help. He listens to His followers and does what they want. He answers their prayers. Psalm 145:18-19. Since I have met Jesus and truly understand who He is, I have found myself depending on Him for every single thing, no matter how big or small. Each day and night, I pray to God that He sends His Holy Spirit to lead, teach, and assist me in my music, ministry, prayer, and this book that I am writing at this very moment. I thank God for all that He has sent His Spirit to do so far, and I ask Him to continue giving me opportunities in my ministry and music. God has not let me down either. I have written a gospel music album which consists of 10 tracks, all original music, and an elder from the New Green Grove Church of Faith has recorded me singing one of my songs entitled Mighty while I am here in jail. Instead of being so secretive about the song, since it's not copyrighted yet, like I always am with my original music, I decided to donate it to the church. First, consider it a tithe of my music, since it is 10% of my gospel album. Every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, I get to sing my songs and other songs during church service and other programs here at the LaFleur County Jail. It relieves me of the stage fright that I used to have, since I pray on all of these occasions before singing. Sometimes I am so prayed up that I just go right into the song with the help of the Spirit. God has been sending people to me with requests for special prayer. He sends others to me for scriptures. God has placed me in a position of spiritual authority, in which I feel responsible for the spiritual well-being of some of the guys that are housed here. God has given me the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to help win souls for His kingdom by having people confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, God's only begotten Son, and that God raised Him from the dead. God then equips me with patience in them and the word to teach them so that they truly believe in their hearts. I have even been praying to God for courage to preach the word in boldness and confidence. God sends His Holy Spirit to pre-write the notes and to deliver the sermons to those who will listen. Yes, God is good, in a nutshell. So to sum up the requirements in order for God to answer your prayers, before prayer, we must make sure that we have forgiven anyone who has offended us, and we must be free of anger. If upset or angry, make this our first thing to ask God for help with, after we ask God to forgive our sins, so that we can clear the channels from us to God. We must go to God firmly, as our Father, and have faith that He will answer our prayers. We must show our faith by acting on it. We must be specific in our prayers so that we will know when God has answered us. We must be sure that we want what we are asking for, and we must be willing to accept it, however it comes to us. We have to line up our prayers with the will of God and word of warrant. When we go to God, we must be thankful to Him for everything. We should also praise God by acknowledging and telling Him how mighty and wonderful He is, and by singing songs of praise to Him during prayer. Last but not least, we must pray for others around us and all over the world. All of these guidelines make our prayers more effective.